So, with this passage, we get to see the first Christian community. And the passage that Jim read earlier was part of that story, too. It's actually a whole chapter long. It starts, you may be familiar with the miracle of Pentecost, where all the apostles are sitting in the upper room, and they're hiding out. Ooh, what's the matter? Oh, okay. So they're all sitting in the upper room, and Christ had come and told them that they are supposed to go out and make disciples of all nations. And what they decide to do instead is go hide in a room and lock the door and refuse to come out. Right. This is a common Christian issue, right? We say, go out and invite all your friends to church. And we go, oh, I don't think so. I think I'd rather just not. It's hard to do. And they were scared. And they were scared because Christians were being persecuted at that point. They had people after them. And so they were hiding. And then you probably remember this. Then the Holy Spirit comes rushing through the door with totally different ideas and drop kicks them right out the front. Go out into the streets. Now is the time to start talking. And they start speaking. Remember this? And they start speaking, and everybody hears it in their own mother tongue. You remember this? And the flames start appearing between them, and it's just all higgledy-piggledy. All, you heard me, right? Higgledy-piggledy. It's all higgledy-piggledy. It's all cattywampus. And then Peter starts talking, and he gives this wonderful speech where he talks about everything he knows about Christ. And that's part of what we heard from Jim today. He starts talking about how the promise is open to everyone and how Christ has saved him and how Christ has helped so many people. And they all are talking about all the things that they've seen with their own eyes and how God has worked throughout history and throughout their own lives. And at that point, we hear the last part, which is 3,000 people decided to be baptized that day. And we get a glimpse of the first Christian community. Just a glimpse of it. Because by the time we get to Paul's letters, we all know it all fell apart again. But for a moment, for a brief period, they had a really great thing going on. They had a really great thing going on. But it wasn't easy. It took them a long time to get to that point. So years ago, when my children were super itty-bitty, we were invited to a friend's birthday party. He was turning like 3, okay? 2 or 3. And we went, and she was holding the party in her backyard. And in her backyard, she had all sorts of toys set up and games for the kids. And she had one of those plastic cars. You know what I'm talking about? You like, just big enough for a kid with like a little like roof over it, and they can get in and they kind of kick, push it, and there's a little steering wheel, a little horn. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. So guess what happened? The horn didn't work. That's not what I was expecting. The horn worked. I assure you, the horn worked. What were the other ideas? Everybody wanted to play with the car. Thank you. Everybody wanted to play with the car. There were 7 kids and 1 car with a functional horn. And they all... And they were all fighting over it, right? Because all the kids converged on it, and then the parents had to jump in. And we were all trying to use the words, right? Let's take turns. Don't push. Use your words. Let's be fair. No, they were there first. Take your hands off. And so on and so forth and so on and so forth. I don't even remember eating the cake because everybody was so focused on all the fighting that we were worried about with this car. It was terrible. And so it was a horrible party. We all just left, and we were just, the whole time we just spent trying to keep the kids from fighting with each other. So I would like to read you something now. I would like to read you something just to remind you of what was extraordinary about this story. Because there's a lot of things in the story of Pentecost that people think of as the miracle, right? They think of the flames, right, appearing among people. They think of people hearing things in their own mother tongue. That was a miracle. I'm gonna point out to you what I think was the real miracle. When the apostles started talking, this is the people that heard them. These are the people that were around, hanging around that street when they all came out of that room. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout. Oops, hold on. Okay, and they were amazed and wondered, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Did you hear all those different nationalities, cultures, languages, ethnicities, and religions? Did you hear all those? The first miracle is that someone is actually able to get that out of their mouth and pronounce it all correctly. That's huge. The second miracle is that all of those people were able to come together in community, agree on a worship liturgy, praise God, and break bread together in each other's homes. Do you hear that? That's huge. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. All of those different people, 3,000 of them, were able to live in community, breaking bread in each other's homes, learning how to share, and worship together in harmony. And there was room. There was room for more. Listen to this. I'm going to read you the last part again. This is the best part. Okay? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Do you hear that? Having favor with all the people. They got along with their neighbors that weren't in the community. They got along with their neighbors that weren't in their community. And they were still open enough that as people came in, they weren't so exclusive, they could keep welcoming people every single day. That's huge. That's the miracle. That's the miracle of Pentecost. So the next year, second year, my friend had a birthday party again. Backyard party. And there was sort of a sense of dread. Yay, birthday party, I get to go. A little bit of dread. But my friend was very smart. She's very savvy. And what she had done over the course of the year is she started accumulating more little cars. You know, she'd see them at garage sales for $5, $10. She'd see them at thrift stores for a couple of dollars. People, friends were giving them away. And she had accumulated 7. Okay? They're like, you know, a bunch of little cars. One of them was like a little red fire truck, you know? And so we go in there. There's 7 kids, 7 vehicles, all with functional horns. And we all thought she was a genius. All his parents, she's a genius. Look at that. 7 kids, 7 cars. This party's going to be awesome. What do you think happened? They all fought over the fire truck. Now I know what you all were like when you were kids. You all would fight over the fire truck, wouldn't you? It's the best. It's mine. I want it. I'm going to take it all for myself. And you can't have it. Yes, that's exactly what happened. All the kids converged on the little red fire truck. I think you guys already know the rest of this sermon. So they all converged on the fire truck, and we did the same thing. All of us parents jumped in. Oh, use your words. Don't push. Take turns. Get off of him. No pulling hair. And so on and so forth. And I don't remember eating cake at that party either. I'm pretty sure someone at some point said happy birthday, and there was a candle, and it was a blur because everybody was so focused on these kids not being able to get along and all the parents trying to help them. And it was a mess. It was a disaster. It was a disaster. So when we celebrate World Communion Sunday, we remember Christ's legacy. We remember the extraordinary thing that he did. Again and again and again, we see him breaking bread with people. It is one of the great equalizers. It's really hard to sit down with someone and enjoy a meal without being able to look them in the eye and see them. And he deliberately paired up people that never saw one another. He paired up people that were from one side of the tracks with people that were from the other side of the tracks. He paired up people that spoke the language of the day and people that struggled with the language of the day. He paired up people that owned their own homes, and he paired them with the people that were slaves in other people's homes. And he brought them together. And he did it so that everybody would have enough. Because for some people, that one meal really made a difference in their ability to survive physically. And he did it so that they had to look each other in the eye, so that the people who had so much power that they could affect the social change necessary to make sure everybody had enough could really see the problem and put a human face on it. And it was extremely effective. Because we hear that later, when we hear about communion being written about in the letters of Paul, like in the Corinthians, we hear about these communions where they were held in rich people's homes, and they were much more like a potluck. And they would involve people from the upper echelons of society, the landowners, the aristocrats, but also the slaves and the day laborers, and they would all come together to eat together. And they struggled with it. It didn't always go smoothly, but that was what it used to look like. It was not just a little bit of bread dipped in a little bit of grape juice. It was a meal, a coming together, a gathering from all those different cultures and all of those different countries and all of those different classes. They would come together and they would eat as equals. It was a huge deal because people didn't do that. And so when we gather today and we think of all the people in all of the different countries that are doing the same thing, in their own areas, they have their own struggles with people that are from different countries, that are from different classes, that are from different religions, that are from different ethnicities. Every single country in this world struggles with it. But today we remember that we have a great equalizer. And when we break bread, we're breaking bread with every single other person, every other seeker across the globe. And when we do that, even though they're not here, right here in front of us, we can see their humanity. We can see their godliness. We can remember that we are equals no matter what we look like, no matter what we sound like, no matter how much education we have, the kind of clothes we wear, the kind of cars we drive, how much money we make. We're equals. Because when we break bread and the Holy Spirit is with us, Christ is with us. And Christ didn't bring people to table to reinforce power imbalances. He brought them together to break them down. So in 2008, I moved down to California from Oregon to complete my seminary education. And I was living in student housing up on Holy Hill. It's up on like Hearst and Arch Street in Berkeley. And there was a student housing for families, which were like little one and two bedroom apartments. And they were kind of built around an interior courtyard. And this was an interesting situation because there were lots of families with kids there, but most of them were graduate students, right, or PhD students, and a lot of them were from other countries. And so often in the afternoons after classes were over, people would come home and they would bring their kids out to play in the playground, and we'd all bring snacks. You know, you'd kind of, it's like having afternoon tea. You know, you'd grab a couple of drinks and some whatever snacks you had on the counter, and we'd all just go out there and let the kids play because there was sort of a natural barrier. We didn't have to stress about keeping them on the lawn or whatever. And so, you know, I went down there, and at one point we're sitting down there, and people started gathering, and more people started showing up. And I couldn't really talk to them, unfortunately. I speak several languages, but everybody was from a different country, and we didn't speak each other's language. You know, there were folks from the Ukraine. There was a family from Korea. There was a family from China. There was a family from Germany. And there were about seven families down there, each with their kids. And we couldn't really speak to each other, but we were hanging out. You know, the kids are playing, whatever. And this courtyard has been there for years. I mean, decades of students have gone through this courtyard. And so toys have accumulated. You know, you see little things that are clearly from people that have moved on long ago, and they just left them. And I noticed that afternoon, as we're sitting there watching these children play, there was one of those little plastic cars in the corner. Looked like a little van with a little roof on it. And I'm looking around. Seven kids. One car. And I could feel like the vein in my forehead start to pulse. I could feel my heart rate start to rise, and I started to sweat. And I thought, oh, man. Oh, man. And then I see the first kid head for it, right? Of all the kids, the first kid heads for it. And I could feel myself start to get hot right here. And I look around. And the other parents haven't noticed yet, but when the second kid saw the first kid go, you know, it's like a little 2-year-old toddling over, another one starts to follow. That's what kids do, right? And then the other parents notice, and I see their eyes get really big. They saw exactly what I saw. And they look at me in panic, and I look at them in panic, and we can't talk to each other. And we can't talk to the kids, because we all speak different languages. And I could see them, like, panic in their own way. And so, and there's nothing we can do. This is like a train wreck. We can't stop it. So the kids start heading, and then all of a sudden it's like the zombie attack, right? All the kids are like, ooh, car, and they all start heading towards it. The first one gets there and jumps into the driver's seat and starts beeping the horn. Totally functional. Beeps that horn. Sitting there, happy as a clam. Right on top of them comes the second one. Boom. Well, they squish in together. Car's full. Two kids. That's all it holds. The third one gets there, looks at the both of them, and just dives in on top of their laps. Gets in between them, goes like this, poof, splunks right down. Three of them squished into two seats. Three of them, right there. Well, at this point, you know, the car's at capacity, and there's still four more coming. So the next one runs up to the car, sticks his head all the way in, sees the three in the seat, looks at the whole situation, comes back out and steps up on the window, puts his feet on the window, and holds onto the roof on the side. Okay? And number five does the same thing, but around the other side. So now there's three kids in the front, squished, and then one on each window, you know, holding on with the hands on the roof. Okay? Two more. Two left. Right? The sixth one comes running up and doesn't even break stride. And I'm like, where's this kid going to go? There's nowhere for this kid to go. Comes running up from behind, full sprint at this point. Leaps up on top of the roof, spread eagle. Spread eagle. Hangs onto the front, legs hanging out the back. One kid left. That one comes up and comes screeching to a halt at the back of the car. Looks at it, thinks about it for a second, and we're like, here's where the tears happen, right? But we can't be like, take turns, blah, 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 because we can't talk to them. And that one comes up from behind and just starts pushing. Gets that thing going, right? And everyone goes, woo! And they all start kick pushing, and the kids on top are hanging on, and the one on the roof's late kicking his legs, and that thing starts to move. It starts to move, and it starts to make circuits around the outside of the courtyard. And squeals of laughter. The kids are having the time of their lives. Because we were limited by our language barrier, the kids were finally allowed to play. Kids that did not speak each other's language were able to find a way to get along so that everybody had enough, so that everybody was equal, so that everybody could be together. And the parents were just cracking up. We were laughing. Even though we didn't speak each other's language, we all got the same joke. We all were able to hear on our own mother tongue because we all got the same joke about the same children, regardless of whether or not we could understand each other's language. The Holy Spirit was moving that day. The miracle of Pentecost occurs every time we overcome those barriers, every time we have everybody having just enough. Everybody doesn't have to have too much, just enough. Just enough so that nobody falls through the cracks and so that everybody can break bread together. And we did. All the snacks were eaten that day. We all got to try new things. Can I get an amen to that?